MZTV.
Yeah, I forgot there was a little bit more to the Dan Sheridan article. I'm going to finish that, but I appreciate what Donald Handy said yesterday, one of his comments. He said, you know, it's a wonder Dan Sheridan didn't have that young girl, that little three-year-old girl in the dress and the ponytail. It's a wonder she didn't have a puppy. I had to laugh at that. That was a good one, Donald. And I answered him, yes, and I'm surprised there was no puppy. And if the puppy existed, the puppy would have a pink bow around its neck. So Sheridan really missed an opportunity to give that pigtailed little girl in the dress a puppy, in which case we would have all had to have thrown the snatching away out, because we know that God would never, never leave a three-year-old as cute as that and a puppy as cute as that on the earth when he comes to snatch away those who remain to his presence. And there will be such people. Paul is very plain. 1 Thessalonians 4, those who remain to the presence of the Lord. And we shall not all be put to repose. These are ironclad scripture verses that defy our little emotional games, whatever emotional games anybody wants to play, or even if they're not playing games, even if they seriously think that the snatching away is mean. Oh, and that's what Wild Boar made a great comment. He says, basically, what Sheridan and all these other people are doing is they're saying that the snatching away is mean. And boy, he just got it right there in a nutshell. That's it. Snatching away is mean. It's just mean. Anything God does that we don't like, we would call him mean. And it's the same thing with this guy, Aaron, who keeps harping and harping and harping, saying that everything's going to be even at the dais of Christ. God doesn't reward anyone. He doesn't demerit anyone. I call it spiritual communism. And it's the same emotional idea. No matter how many times you point to the scripture, or no matter how many times I say, yeah, but read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about the dais of Christ, about God burning up works. And I've gone all through the reward versus the God is going to burn up works versus at the dais of Christ. I've been through all those many times. And of course, we've gone through the snatching away verses many times. But those who are an emotional constitution, the scriptures don't influence them at all. They just think God is mean. And I'm sure this Aaron fellow would think God is mean for judging anybody, really. Why? And it comes down to the protest for Romans 9. Why is God still judging those that he makes hard? Another way of saying the snatching away is mean is by saying the snatching away is not fair. That's even better. God is mean by not being fair. The snatching away is not fair. Rewards at the dais for service are not fair, because technically nobody earned them. It was all God operating through them. And yet God gives them rewards nevertheless, just as God judges those he hardens. Romans chapter 9. God blames people for being hard. Have you thought of that one, Aaron? God blames people for being hard. And I know in your personal viewpoint of what's right and what's wrong, I mean, if you were God, you wouldn't do it that way. I know. I know. Now I know. You write every day like you are God. It's not fair. God's being mean. Rewards and demerits are not fair. The snatching away is not fair. It's all mean. God judging people that he makes hard, it's all mean and ornery and just nasty and just not fair and just makes us stomp our feet and pump our fist into our other hand like this. Oh, I just don't like it. Why does God like this? Well, he is. He's God. And he does things that would be unlawful for humans to do. I mentioned that God killed the Amalekites, men, women, and children. Told the Israelites to kill Amalekites, men, women, and children. That was an army that Israel was supposed to conquer. Now, was that fair? Was that God being mean? God is not mean. And our idea of what fair is, is just that. Our idea of what fair is. God is not a man. We cannot take God's actions, which is what is happening here. We cannot take God's actions and run them through the filter of our opinions, of our sense of morality, our sense of fairness, our sense of what we think is right or wrong. We just have to say God is God and we are not God. But the audacity, and I can't believe, again, someone like Dan Sheridan would throw away scripture in order to defend what he thinks is unfair treatment of this little pigtail girl in a dress. It's just incredible. Incredible. In-freaking-credible. That anyone in the body of Christ would write that. Because as I said yesterday, God leaves people behind constantly. Let me read a couple comments were so good yesterday. I have to read them. I want to read a comment from Gary Laser and from Taylor Wolfman. This is Gary Laser. He said this, the ignorance of some as to what happens when death occurs. Someone is always left behind to fend without the one they will miss. Yes, every time death occurs. And it occurs thousands of times every day around the world. And God is behind it. God withdraws his spirit. People die. And hundreds of thousands of people are left behind every day, including cute girls, cute little three-year-old girls, not just three-year-old girls, little ones. And not just little three-year-old girls, but little three-year-old girls in dresses. And not only that, but pigtails. And Dan didn't mention this, but probably little white frilly socks and black patent leather shoes with a little strap. And the puppy with a pink bow. And yet, it happens every day. Gary Laser calls it ignorance. That's what it is. God is the one who provides and sustains when one of us is dead. And he will provide for all who are left behind when we are snatched away. Praise God for this truth. Boom. Gary Laser, thank you. What simple faith. What beautiful faith. He will provide for all who are left behind. That's magnificent faith. Gary doesn't know how he's going to do it, but he knows he's going to do it. God will provide. God will provide for all who are left behind. That's more than Dan Sheridan knows. Dan Sheridan doesn't even know that. Dan Sheridan, the great ex-teacher in the body of Christ. Unbelievable. Great comment. I'm going to read now a comment from Taylor Wolfman. This is a woman. She says this, I'll go a step further than you, Martin. Oh, that did it for me right there. I love it when somebody says that. I'm going to go a step further than you, Martin. I always go and pop popcorn, as I did here. Oh, I got to pop some popcorn. Somebody's going to go further than I went. And I enjoy the rest of this comment, and you will too. What is the difference, asks Taylor Wolfman, between a hypothetical child of a believer left behind and the hypothetical unbelieving orphan left behind during the tribulation? Oh, yeah, the tribulation. What is the difference between young children of believers having to go through the tribulation and the guaranteed millions of children predestined to go through the tribulation? Yes, you're right. Guaranteed millions. In fact, it's my opinion. I'm going to finish reading this in a moment. It's my opinion that people who die now, unbelievers who die now, are blessed because the tribulation is at the door and they are going to miss it. Even the book of the Revelation itself said, blessed are the dead who die from this time forward. It's better. It will be better, apparently. I mean, I think this, I might be wrong. I mean, We don't decide who dies anyway. God does. But I think it's a comfort to think that, well, and I've heard this said by believers concerning those who are put to repose. Well, they're not going to be here for the tribulation. I mean, we wouldn't say this about believers because we know that the believers will be snatched away, and we want all of us to be alive at that great event. But even if we're not, we're going to rise first before the living. So God, realizing that the dead in Christ got a bum deal, bum steer, he's going to make it up to them by having them rise first. Paul's very clear about that. What specificity in 1 Thessalonians 4, the great snatching away verse. Back to Taylor Wolfman. Guaranteed millions of children. What about them? Predestined to go through the tribulation. People will be put to repose during the tribulation. You don't think parents and children will be separated then? There is 7 years of this. It's quite possible that the first woe is going to take parents from children with the other woes yet to come, and vice versa. In the end, it all comes down to trusting God, just like Gary said. Yeah, it all comes down, and Gary didn't say it, he just did it. It all comes down to trusting God, who at his core is not a tormentor. That's right, God at his core is love. He never deals out one woe or affliction that lasts longer than necessary for the eventual benefit of his creation. Amen. And let me read that again. In the end, it all comes down to trusting God, who at his core is not a tormentor. No, at his core, he is a God of love. He never deals out one woe or affliction that lasts longer than necessary for the eventual benefit of his creation. It's easy to say that as someone who doesn't have to go through it, but I can only say this because that is what God, through Scripture, has told me to believe. This is it. It comes down to what God says in Scripture. Don't run it through a filter. Don't sit there and think, if I were God, I wouldn't do it that way. Or don't sit there and think, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Why? It doesn't make any sense. How many people have said that to me about the Great White Throne? What doesn't make sense to God would put people to death and then raise them at the Great White Throne, judge them, and put them in the lake of fire? It doesn't matter what makes sense. Who cares what you think? I've told many people that, with all due respect, sir, it doesn't matter what you think. With all due respect, sir, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. With all due respect, sir or madam, you are not God. With all due respect, sir or madam, God is greater than you are. Stop running his plans through your filters of what is fair, what is right, what makes sense. Just read the naked words and believe them. This is a challenge for many people. It's a shock to me that it's a challenge. Because I'm like a child. I believe God. God's going to make it all work out. How's God going to make it work out, Martin? I don't know. See, the hows of it, we don't know. We don't know how God's going to work it all out. We don't know how. We don't know how those children, those young girls that died in the floods in Texas, we don't know how that's going to work out. We don't know how. We just know that we have a God who takes responsibility for everything that happens in his creation, in his universe. And we trust that he has a good purpose. And we have seen already the justification of the worst evil that ever occurred upon the earth, the crucifixion of God's own son. And we realize that that is the worst crime. There's not even the drowning of however many young people in Texas. Not even that was worse than the crucifixion of the innocent Lamb of God and the torture, the hours and hours of torture of that innocent person. Nothing can out evil that, and yet we know the results of that, and we have justified it, and we think it's good. It was good that that happened. They meant it for evil. Pilate meant it for evil. Herod meant it for evil. The river in Colorado meant it for evil, but God meant everything, all of it for good. God meant it for good. I can only say this because that is what God through Scripture has told me to believe, and I believe it. I hope and she can't help it. She just believes it because she's been given childlike faith. Not so, Dan Sheridan. Used to think that, but no, it's not childlike faith. Dan has to justify God. Dan has to protect God from his own meanness by saying, don't worry, everybody. There's no way God's going to leave cute little girls behind or puppies with pink bows. Don't worry. Well, what scripture evidence do you have for that, Dan? I don't have any evidence. I just have a cute girl. Didn't you hear me? She's cute. Didn't you hear me? She has pigtails. That's his evidence. Not one scripture. In fact, he has to defy scripture to take us. He has to take us away from scripture and put our attention on this adorable little girl in pigtails and white frilly socks and black shiny patent leather shoes. I added those last two elements. Dan somehow missed that. Or Aaron that says that God's got to do everything right. He's got to do the same thing for everybody. He's got to do the same thing for everybody or I can't handle it. I hope my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ feel the same or come to feel the same in the future. Hang tight, everyone. We're almost there. Boom. Love it. Hang tight, everyone. We're almost there. Just 60 more seconds. Oh, Taylor went a step further through this whole thing. Not only did she go a step further by talking about hypothetical unbelieving children or hypothetical children, I should say, hypothetical children of unbelievers who will go through the tribulation with their parents unless their parents are killed during the tribulation. Not only did she go to the next level, but she also went to the next level just 60 more seconds. I'm at 75 seconds right now. I'm looking for God every 75 seconds. 1.25 seconds, 1 minute and 15 seconds. Yeah, Taylor just went 60 more seconds. I like it. I'm going to finish the Dan Sheridan article, and that will leave tomorrow for me to tell you how Clyde and I came to head-to-head disagreement in 2014 that caused him to go his own way. And he said, that's it. And he also said something else. He said, the gloves are off. And what I didn't realize at the time, I'll get into this tomorrow, what I didn't realize at the time was he already believed a certain thing that he was keeping hidden for years while we toured together. All right, but for now, there's a little bit left of that Dan Sheridan article, and I don't want to leave you bereft. I don't want to leave you orphaned, not hear the rest of this. As you remember, yesterday, I was being quite facetious about how moved I was and devastated. Oh, my God, you didn't tell me that she was wearing pigtails, this cute girl. God would never abandon little people, little cute people. You got me, Sheridan. But Dan goes on like this. Watch the promoters of this theology. He's talking about the snatching away. Watch the promoters of this theology do a dance by getting into the age of accountability crap to try to tone down how stupid, cruel, and evil their doctrine is. Dan Sheridan is calling our doctrine. It's not ours. It's the Apostle Paul's. It's called the snatching away. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. He's calling it stupid, cruel, and evil. Wow, did that man ever change? Where's your verse that proves that the snatching away is stupid, cruel, and evil? No verse, just a cute little girl. Watch the promoters of this theology do a dance by getting into age of accountability crap. My response, Dan, no one is saying that there is any such thing as the age of accountability. We're all in the same boat as babies in cribs. Weak, helpless, unable to believe. And that's true, ladies and gentlemen. God treats the whole human race like babies in cribs. God wouldn't do this to a baby in a crib. What about a 50-year-old baby in a crib? In a metaphoric crib? A 50-year-old metaphoric baby? Someone who's never matured? Someone who's still infantile? Someone who abuses his wife or beats his kids or... What about someone like that who's an unbeliever at age 50? We don't need an age of accountability because people grow up being the same as they are when they're 6 months old. People said to me, what about those who are mentally handicapped, Martin, that they can't think straight, people that can't think straight? I said, the whole human race can't think straight. God looks at the entire human race as we look at mentally handicapped people, whether they're children or adults. The whole human race is mentally handicapped. Don't you see that? God treats the whole human race like we treat those special needs, mentally disabled people. And if you're not designated beforehand, you won't be called. And you won't be called if you don't believe the evangel, and you can't believe the evangel unless God gives you the faith to believe the evangel. It's not a matter of how old you are. That's why this age of accountability is crap. But Dan thinks that that's one of our problems. Those of us who believe in the snatching away, that's one of our problems. Watch the promoters of this theology do a dance by getting into the age of accountability crap. I'm not getting into it. It's false. It's stupid to try to tone down. I'm not toning anything down. God doesn't need apologized for. God leaves behind young people and mentally disabled people every day, and he kills mentally disabled people, and he kills mentally abled people, and he kills old and young. He kills babies in the womb by the millions, indirectly, but God is behind it. God uses intermediaries to do it, but he is responsible for death. And they are, yes, human beings in utero. No one's playing the age of accountability game. Who are you talking about? I go on. It is God who either appoints one for aeonian life or doesn't. And that's Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And whoever were appointed to aeonian life believed. There it is right there. Oh my God, I got to go there. Acts 13, 48. This is why I always run out of time. Acts 13, 48. This is a great verse. Great sovereignty of God verse and a believer verse. Starting with verse 47. For thus the Lord has directed us. This is Paul speaking. I have appointed thee for a light of the nations, for thee to be for salvation as far as the limits of the earth. Now on hearing this, Paul's teaching to the nations. Why? Because he's the apostle to the nations. Now on hearing this, the nations rejoiced and glorified the word of the Lord, and they believe whoever were set for aeonian life. Yeah, that's in the Bible. Acts 13, 48. They believe. Who believed? Whoever were set. That is, designated beforehand. Set in stone. Whoever were set in stone for aeonian life, they believed. And that's the pattern right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is the pattern. This is the beginning of the body of Christ. This is very early in Paul's ministry. And whoever were set for aeonian life, they believed. The opposite is what? What's the corollary here? Whoever were not set for aeonian life scratched their heads and said, what the hell is that guy talking about? Isn't it quite simple to know who a believer is? They believe the evangel. If they scratched their heads and said, what the hell is that guy talking about? One guy's doing that. Another guy's going, shh, I got it, man. I got it. And he follows Paul to get his email address and find out where he can find his YouTube channel. Why? Because he was set for aeonian life. Back to my response to Dan Sheridan. So it doesn't really matter if a person is 9 months or 90 years old. It doesn't matter if one is little or big. It doesn't matter if one is wearing blue jeans or a dress. It doesn't matter if one's hair is in a ponytail, a pigtail, hanging straight down one's back, or non-existent. All these stupid juvenile considerations. God decides who has aeonian life, period. The corollary is that God decides who are unbelievers in this aeon. The God who knows and even participates in the fall of the sparrow knows and participates in the death of any of humanity. He holds the keys of death and Hades. Revelation 1, verse 18. He decides the hour of birth and the hour of death. Mortality comes to all regardless of age, race, color, creed, or hairstyle. Some go young, some go old. Every one of them is dying. Some never even get out of the womb. How is that for cute? Our merciful God is over them all, loves them all, has saved them all, and will gather them all to himself at the consummation of the eons. You are calling the doctrine of the snatching away stupid, cruel, and evil. By extension, you're calling God stupid, cruel, and evil. I know you're not doing this on purpose, Dan, but you're doing it. You're doing it because suddenly in this past year, you've decided that the snatching away is false. I don't know what or who has influenced you. I have no control over it. I can only comment on your words and hope to help others avoid the pitfall. This is not personal. I would not call you names except to your face, and you know what those names are. Sheridan and I used to call each other names all the time. I will not ever question your character. You have been a friend to me and to many, along with Stephen Hill and Clyde Pilkington. You are a wonderful husband and father. Your wife and your children love you. You will always be my friend. But these new teachings of yours, I have to shake my head. I pray that you do a U-turn on your U-turn. Then Dan says this, the rapture snatching away doctrine isn't gracious. It divides families and leaves babies unattended in their cribs. There he goes. He can't get out of the goddamn cribs. The crib. It's the crib. When God sees a baby in his crib, he just melts. God says, cancel it. Cancel the snatching away. Cancel the tribulation. But God, why? Say the angels. But God, why? No, I just saw a baby in a crib. Look at that crib. Oh my God, it's a cute crib in a crib. If they would only get out of the crib, I could go ahead with my plans. But as long as there are any babies in a crib, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, the doggone cribs. It isn't gracious. The snatching away doctrine that divides families and leaves babies unattended in their cribs. Rethink the rapture. That's what Dan says to us. Rethink the rapture. He's saying it to us. Rethink the rapture. Notice how he and Clyde both call it the rapture when they're destroying it, when they are ripping it out of your expectation. I said, no, Dan, we will not rethink the rapture. What we will do is hope that you rethink your rethinking of the rapture and not be so hung up on cribs and pigtails. What we will do is resist the emotional manipulation that would attempt to talk us out of plainly stated scripture. God divides families all the time. It's a hard fact of life. Is God then not gracious? According to you, the answer is no. I beg you to rethink what you have written here. God is gracious in all his acts. Dan, I talked to my friend Aaron Welch about this one day. He's the father of a beautiful young daughter. I don't think he would mind me paraphrasing him. And I did. I called Aaron Welch about this very thing. Martin, Aaron said, the father of a young daughter, I have thought long and hard about this. I would be lying to you if I did not admit to being disturbed at first about leaving my daughter behind should the Lord return soon. But then I realized that this was back in 2015. But then I realized that in Scripture, God is always calling upon us to love him first, forsaking all others. Relatively speaking, we are to love him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. We are to love his appearing. It does not mean I do not love my own daughter. It means that I trust God to do the right thing, to take care of her, to have her best interest in mind more than I ever will. If I love God first and foremost, more than any other thing on earth, then I trust that God will take care of the rest, including my loved ones. End of quote. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is mature faith. That is a faith that believes God first, then deals with the ensuing emotions. This is the opposite of the pigtail principle, which considers emotions first and then manipulates Scripture to align it with the emotion. God help any of us who commit this crime. And he will.